Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Alex Stanbury and Robin Brundle of Technology Minerals. Welcome back, gents.
Thank you. Thanks. Nice to see you again.
Absolutely. So obviously, we just saw the news announced that your subsidiary Recyclers Group signed a MOU with a clean tech company to develop a low carbon technology for processing lithium ion battery black mass, aiming to recover critical raw materials. This collaboration, leveraging a novel chemistry-based technology, promises higher efficiency and quality in material recovery compared to traditional methods. The process, operational within 18 months, will further Recyclers' mission to establish a circular economy for battery metals in the UK. Recyclers, operating the UK's first industrial-scale lithium-ion recycling plant in Wolverhampton, is set to enhance the country's battery metal supply security and contribute to the electrification transition, aligning with national goals to reduce carbon emissions. In addition, Tier 1 has secured a £5.5 million convertible bond facility with Atlas Capital Markets to support its sustainable battery metal circular economy initiatives, including the acquisition of Recyclers and expansion of its lithium-ion battery recycling operations. The facility, to be drawn down in five tranches, starting with £1.5 million, features a 5% annual coupon over the Bank of England base rate and accompanying warrants. This move comes as Technology Minerals address a shortfall in a previous facility with CLG Capital, with which it has begun termination proceedings. This strategic financing partnership with ACM underscores Technology Minerals' commitment to advancing its recycling and sustainability goals in the battery metals sector. Sounds like great progress, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a productive quarter, and we've got some good news coming through on the supply side. Our agreement recently with Beryl Bikes was great for us, adds to another vertical. And then I think we've always set ourselves up to be a problem solver in the UK. So it was a strategy of making sure that we can take batteries on the front end, stop them going to landfill, recycle them into a saleable product being black mass. But the next stage is about being cradle to cradle. And that's the MOU that we've signed, which allows for black mass separation on a modular basis in the UK. And that's absolutely key to the development of our business, so that the black mass no longer needs to leave the UK, can be separated into materials that can then go directly back into battery manufacturing, which will remove the export side. At the moment, there are both batteries and black mass that will be exported, and everything can then stay, all the critical material can stay in the UK and be fed into the battery manufacturing that is already online, and that's coming online in a couple of years down in the southwest as well. So a very key development for us. And it's important for the people we do business with as well, that they can see it as a cradle-to-cradle solution in the UK.
So, Alex, you talked in one of the RNSs, obviously, about finances. So let's cover that before we talk about the more positive aspects of what's been happening in the business. Tell us, the background behind this, what's happened with the previous one, and now, obviously, we've got another one. Tell us the difference in the terms and how much more beneficial this is going to be for the company.
Sure. We signed a facility with CLG Capital, and we went to draw the money, and only part of it was forthcoming. We've since been in negotiations about getting the rest of the money, which we're assured would come, and in the end didn't come. So we've signed a new agreement. The idea of this is not only for the short term, for being able to build out our recycling capability in the UK, but it's also to have a facility in place for the RTO and for the working capital requirements of that. So as soon as we realized that the funds were not going to be there to be drawn and to be able to help with the RTO, we looked for alternative source of funding, and we're very pleased with our new partner. Like any sources of funding, really, there's what it says on paper, and then there's what actually happens in reality. So you need to have trust and faith in the partners that you have funding arrangements with, and we like the guys at Atlas, and we're looking forward to working with them in the long term.
Is there any connection between the previous ones and Atlas? People seem to be on some of the messaging boards are saying that they're associated in some way.
No, they're not. The guy who started CLG used to work at Atlas, and he doesn't anymore.
Okay. So from the point of view of how this new one works, they will be applicable just for the warrants, or they will have the ability to transfer the loan, for instance, the $1.5 million into shares in the new entity or not?
Yes, it's a standard convertible loan bond situation. So they'll give us money, we will use it to grow the business, and they will convert and hold stock in the company. And they also have warrants that are struck at a 20% premium to the current market price at the time of issue.
Time of conversion. Okay, so this then puts you in a strong position then to forward with the prospectus then. So tell us a little bit about what's happening that. Either Robin or Alex can take this question. It's up to you.
Sure, it does put us in a strong position. The basis of having a finance facility in place that has no preconditions in it means that we can use it in our working capital facility and our working capital report for that's required for the reverse takeover. In terms of the reverse takeover itself, we've had the prospectus back again recently, reviewed it. There's no major outstanding points at this time. And so we're just filling in blanks and continuing along, answering questions. But, you know, we're happy with the progress. Obviously, the financing side needed to be sorted out. So we've now filled in what was a question mark, I guess, to make sure that we have the finance required. And we continue on with the process.
Okay, so coming to you, Robin, tell us a little bit about what's been happening with the prospectus to move it forward. And then all these other different announcements that we obviously haven't spoken to you in the last few weeks about the different things that has happened. So if you could give us a bit more color and a bit more meat on the bone for those things, that would be great.
Yeah, sure, of course. So I think just to add to what Alex has said on the prospectus, we have our interims coming up as well at the end of this month that will be signals for the 28th in accordance with regulation. And clearly the data from that is being fed into the prospectus as well. So that's another final part. And so we're pretty much there. I'm probably slightly more enthusiastic about our timeline than Alex on that one. And we expect through the system that we will, by tomorrow, actually, I think, have completed all of the questions that we need to complete. But just as a reminder, and I'm sure you know well, that when you go in for this process, that you have a reader at the FCA and a team that works with that reader. Once we've done all we can do, which I think will be as of tomorrow, then that reader then, once they are satisfied that there are no more questions, has to pass for their diligence, has to pass the whole file to a fresh second reader. And that second reader has the opportunity to come back with more questions. So I think from a timeline point of view, we wanted to have this done by the end of March, and we've been working very hard to achieve that. I think as of tomorrow, we will have done all we can do. And it depends really on the timeline now is going to depend on the answers from the FCA and if there are any questions from the second reader. So we'll work diligently through those if there are any. And, you know, we're in a position then where we have to just sit back and let due process take its time and its course. So it won't be delayed through any fault of our own from that point of view. So, yeah, a lot of hard work gone into that. And I think then from an operational point of view, you know, when we've talked on with yourself and Phil over the previous months here, we've talked about a number of verticals that we're going to be drawing feedstock and custom from. And of course, the announcements that we've been making have, you know, if you add them all up, we're slowly really knocking each category down and each vertical down from a point of view of getting some business from that space. So earlier this week, we announced Beryl, which is a multi-city e-transport system using the bikes. And so, you know, it's evidence, if you like, that we're already into that e-bike space. And we already take e-bike batteries from others, but we felt that the Beryl contract was very much worthy of flagging. And of course, we've got those that are in the WEEE space that are dealing with us that we've reported through. So that's another vertical. And so it goes on with the acronyms of ABTOs, sending battery tours now, batteries, tours and contract. And, you know, we're tirelessly working through the rest of those verticals as well. So handheld batteries, batteries under 4 kilograms. And, you know, we've got all of those sorts of areas now, those verticals covered. There's more to do and there's more opportunity, and we will have more to share with you in the coming days and weeks. So it's all starting to come into shape from those verticals point of view.
And from the point of view, an uptick in the amount of batteries coming through the site, then you've seen that over the last few weeks?
We've seen orders coming through. We'd like more, of course, like any business. But yes, we've got orders coming through. We've got orders in pipeline, and we've got now daily inquiries for quoting. both on end-of-life material, and we are also getting some good inquiries on historically burnt material as well. So those that have sadly experienced fires in their stock systems are reaching out to us quite regularly at the moment to try and process their burnt material. So yes, and at the top end, you know, we are, as we've already declared, you know, automotive is going to be very big going forwards. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of time and effort being put into that space, because whilst it's relatively small right now, you know, it will be the biggest player by some margin, purely because of the size and weight of the batteries that are coming through. So a lot of hard work going on. You've seen since we last spoke that we won an award in some pretty high level companies such as GKN and McLaren Technologies, for example. In the automotive space, we won an award for the concept of the mobile solution through the lorry. And we're now into about month six of that. And that's progressing in accordance with the Innovate UK plan that we have. And a lot of great interest. We reported in Q4 that we had a delegation from India that consisted of politicians, academia, and high-level commerce. That has led to us now securing a place on the British government's ITES scheme, which has just been announced to us about a week or so ago. And that now means that we are a trusted partner for British government, for Indian government, and both governments now put us together with like-minded people. And why would we want to do that? The reason we want to do that is that it gives us access to 1.3 billion. So whilst there's a population of around 1.5 billion, that gives us access to the 1.3 billion people that have at least one or more handheld device. At the current time, there is no marketplace for the lithium-ion handheld battery that comes out of a laptop in the scrap heaps, that comes out of a mobile phone. They are purely going to landfill in India. And clearly, A, it's a hazardous issue. And more importantly, again, for the Indian state, there's an awful lot of raw material going into landfill. So we're talking to them about potential partners to pick up the full plant and also the recycling of mobile solution for the provinces as well. So all of this great activity is going on in the background. And, you know, it's disappointing to have one or two keyboard warriors having a go at us when we're working so hard to make all this happen for the good of the planet, for the good of the shareholders, and for the good of the business in general.
On to the MOU announcement, Robin, that you alluded to at the top of the show there. There was this clean tech company, and it was related to the black mass refining technology. And I think it mentioned about 2 years of assessing the emerging technologies. Do you want to just talk us through how that will enhance the whole refining process and then talk how much difference it will make to the quality of the black mass at the end?
Very much so. Phil, if you were to look at Li-Cycle, for example, who are incredibly well-funded through the American government system. They were putting up plant for 700-800 million euros in Europe and have had to hit reverse because their hydromet process actually isn't delivering the material to the correct standard. And so they've had to withdraw and pause what they're doing until they can try and find a solution. So you know that we were lucky enough to secure the services of Anwar Sattar as our scientific director. And Anwar has come on board specifically to make sure that we get to being a leader in this black mass separation space. So there is so that's the first thing. The second thing is just to remind your listeners that black mass is the key byproduct of our shredding process, and it contains the four metal salts of cobalt, lithium, nickel, and manganese. And it's a very difficult, tricky scenario to separate those four, and it's been done reasonably well in hydromet form in Asia. And so, therefore, we're looking at selling material to Asia because they're naturally the highest bidders, where they get all four of these metal salts, whereas Europe and America is only currently getting three. So the UK cannot withstand a business model of 700 to 800 million investment in a plant. It just will fall over commercially. We said about 2 years ago, looking at all the various claims and technologies and inviting people in, inviting those companies in that were reporting that they'd got this perfect solution. And what we've done, in essence, is sifted through all of that with Anwar's input. We've then also now picked a twin-track strategy ourselves. So we've committed to two companies, one that is further advanced than the competition in the hydromet process, and that we will give black mass to them to go through their process. And secondly, then, essentially a chemical process that we believe is already there. So we know from the chemical process that the quality of the separation of the black mass will enable us to supply materials direct to battery manufacturers. And that's the holy grail, because there are some out there at the moment that do the separation, but then it has to go on to another process to make it suitable for battery manufacturers. So
this will allow it to go direct to the producer's effect. So will it be as high grade? I mean, you've alluded to in the past about this, the Asian market seems to have this refining process, you know, almost nailed on, not 100% recovery, because you're never going to get those rates. But is it going to be as high grade as some of those Asian markets?
It is planned to be higher grade so that it doesn't have to have a second process. So if all goes to plan, it will be able to have a cost-effective solution to go back to being made into a battery. That is the whole energy behind this particular relationship. So we're very excited about that. We are also looking at programs to bring in battery manufacturers into this space with us, because, of course, you know, it's very difficult to get them to confirm what material they exactly need, because that's where their IP sits. So at the moment, we know from our research that the purity needs to be 99.5 or more, and we believe that we're well beyond that with this process. So, you know, the gigafactories of which we've had dialogues are saying, yes, if you can get us this material to 99.5, we can't tell you exactly what we want, but we would buy that. And that's the critical pathway, is making sure that we've got those ongoing discussions. They're not contracts, to be clear, but we've got these types of high-level discussions going on. Nothing bolted down, but that's the direction of travel that we're going.
Very good. I mean, it obviously all sounds pretty exciting, and this will obviously affect the financial situation in terms of selling the black mass unseparated to selling it separated is going to make what difference to the bottom line?
I think it's difficult for us to comment on that at the moment, Kevin, because we haven't got any firm offtake agreements from those battery manufacturers. What we will say, though, is that we expect it to be a number of multiples on what we're currently getting, purely because of the purity. But there is a second element here, that under regulation, battery manufacturers have to use a certain percentage of recycled material to be compliant with legislation and to be able to sell their finished batteries into the global market. So at the moment, they're struggling to find that recycled material. So by coming to market with this material, not only does it give them the purity, local source, reduced carbon footprint is really important to them, as is the ability to use recycled material. So all of those really strong indicators are in our favor through this program.
Very good. Going backwards to what we talked about the batteries for the e-bikes and the other products and verticals that you have managed to secure, is there a period of time that you think that these organizations have a backlog of batteries that will be coming your way?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we're in those discussions, and, you know, we are processing material, for example, that has been stored since first quarter of 2021. So that gives you some idea. And yeah, so yes is the simple answer.
So obviously 2021, you're talking about nearly 2 or 3 years of stuff that's been lying about, and maybe there's a lot more stuff that's been lying about for even a lot longer.
Yeah, we announced also that, you know, through Slicker arrangement, that EV Surety, for example, you know, the parent organization of that represents over 600 independent car garages, you know, they were the first really in the UK to pop the head over the parapet and say, yeah, you know, we've been storing batteries for 6 or more years because until now we haven't had a solution. So, and they're very happy to be cited because they've been repairing EVs and, you know, hybrids effectively, because they've still got lithium ion batteries in a hybrid vehicle, been restoring those vehicles and just literally storing up. You know, if you look at the fire that Inchcape had that burnt down an Audi dealership at the turn of the year, you know, they were storing several tons of material because they'd got no real outlet for it to go. So as they were doing warranty work on vehicles, they were having to store the batteries in the building, and one kicked off, and you know, you've suddenly got a north of £10 million investment in a car facility that's gone for the sake of a repaired battery, you know?
Yeah. No, I can see that there's big problems being stored up, and hopefully you're going to be the solution. And I think one of the things that is important about what Recyclers Group will become is hopefully a great British business that will solve a lot of problems for companies and also, you know, be part of this cyclical green economy, which we hope is going to happen, because we don't want to keep mining more and more and more of these materials when they can be reused. So I think people have to understand the real ethos behind this business, because ultimately it's very, very important for the economy.
Yes, it is. And, you make a good point around the recycled material, but I still have to remind you of the academia reporting that despite the incredibly high levels of recycling that we're achieving at the moment, you know, zero to landfill, no use of water, and, you know, we get full separation of whatever we put in at the front end. But despite that level of performance, academia is saying that we're only still going to meet around 30% of the raw material supply for the gigafactories here in the UK by 2040. So by default, 70% has still got to be extracted. And I think anybody that thinks that recycling is going to, deliver the transition to EV for us all, be that on e-bikes, cars, trains, forklift trucks, whatever it is, then they have to accept that it has to have some extraction of raw material. Now, the only upside of this is that once it has been extracted, you know, we're finding engineers, we're really lighting the enthusiasm of engineers around the UK, because you do extract it, and you could argue you extract oil, of course. But with our material now, with this cradle-to-cradle concept, the engineers have really come alive, because they can reuse energy again, or reuse materials rather, to make energy.
Very good. Well, we look forward to the progress. We look forward to the prospectus coming together, and you becoming an inverted commas one company in Recyclist, and that more and more progress is made in terms of the batteries coming in. And hopefully you won't just have one plant this time next year. We'll be talking about many. And maybe not just in the UK, from what you're talking about in terms of the potential for the Indian side of things, it could be astronomical. 1.3 billion people all effectively going to be using lithium batteries in some way, shape or form is quite a big market, I would imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
On that note, we'll say Robin Rundle and Alex Danbury of Technology Minerals, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.